welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start this morning in a proverb. This is a powerful passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. And if you just stop and think about everything this proverb says, it's really stunning. Scripture says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." Wow. Goes on to say, "Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." What is this talking about ultimately? It's talking about wisdom and understanding. It's like a personification of wisdom and understanding. And we obviously live in a world where gold and silver rank. You know, that's kind of wealth of the world. Everybody has their price. You know, that mindset that it's all about. But the Scripture says there's something that's more valuable than money. Wisdom and understanding. More precious than rubies. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Why is that such a powerful thing? There is nothing like hearing from God. It connects you to God. Experiencing God's wisdom. It's better than money. You know you are dialed in to God Almighty Himself. And nothing you can desire can compare with that. That sense. That knowing. All the stuff, it's kind of like what Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom and the stuff will be added." Man, when you just love wisdom, you know, the length of days, the riches, all that stuff, that's kind of like that's added to you. But your heart, your desire is for wisdom. And you see that there's a finding and a gaining. There's a searching. Another similar proverb, "Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin." So here again, in kind of helping us esteem the Word of God, we see a personification with the Word of God, like a person, and treasuring and valuing the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of God as though it were a real person. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. Call understanding your nearest kin. And if we really just believe this, I mean, to me, the checkmate is verse 15. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Wow. The gaining of wisdom and understanding. What I want to talk about this morning in connection with this is simply having a relationship with God's Word, all right? Having a relationship with God's Word. We see the Word self-described as having a relationship with it, calling wisdom your sister. All the things you can desire as it relates to wisdom and understanding can't compare with her. And so it's scriptural to think of the Word of God in terms of a relationship. In fact, that's the most healthy way to think of the Word of God. I can gauge pretty quickly how it's going with me and the Lord based on my current attitude toward the Word. If it's just like food and I'm hungry and can hardly wait to delve in, things are good with me and Jesus. It's just kind of that way. When it's like, it's on my to-do list. I'm going to get to it. It's just a barometer. You know, the Word of God. Because you can take this Word of God and you can beat people up. You can beat yourself up with it. Or you can take this Word of God and see it as it is treasure. The treasure of God's wisdom in everything that He has and everything that He can do and who He is and His will for our lives. We can see it for what it is by the Spirit of God. Having a relationship with God's Word. And I'm just kind of, when we think of it too, when we're talking about the Word and words of God, we're not talking about ink on a page or letters on a display screen. We're talking about a relationship with the Word of God. When you see words like this, we're talking about the one who wrote those words. And as your eyes see those words, the Spirit behind those words feed your spirit. There's a relationship with the Spirit in you and the Spirit that inspired it. And when your eyes set on those things, something happens. It's relationship. Jesus is called the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. It's so important to understand and not compartmentalize this book off on the side with some religious duty. No, this Bible is part, the Word is part of the Trinity, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and is the living Word of God. And as we talk about this too, I want you to realize that what we're talking about and having this kind of relationship with the Word of God is not for somebody else. It's not for Bible scholars or preachers who have to preach the Bible on a Sunday morning. Not at all. This relationship is for you. This relationship with the Word is something God wants you to have. He does. And we're going to just get past a few things this morning. You know, I kind of thought of an old game show I remember watching growing up in the 70s. I think at the time it was called the $20,000 Pyramid. And what they would do is they kind of give you some clues, and you'd have to kind of guess the category. Well, think of some clues. Greek and Hebrew. Theological debates. Devotion time. Things that scare me away from the Word of God. Bing, yes, you got it right. Congratulations, $20,000. Yes, next category. We all deal with this. We all feel that. Ugh, duty. I mean, there's a part of pride that wants it. I mean, I get it. But when we get back to the Word itself, we see a relationship. You have a relationship with a book? Nah. You have a relationship with the one who inspired these words. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You're having a relationship with words. You're having a relationship with the Spirit behind these words. And as we do, we're just going to look at a few things about what that means this morning. How to have a relationship with the Word of God. Very similar to having a relationship with the person, actually. First, in having a relationship with the Word of God, there's a time to listen. There's a time to listen. Scripture says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the Word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Now, he's talking to believers here right now. And that saving is really not the salvation from death into life as far as getting born again. Again, he's talking about souls is your psuche. In the Greek, it's, you know, it's sozo is save. It has the ability to save your soul. What we would say, restore your soul. Clear the clutter in your mind and heart. Give you clarity of thought and mind. The Word of God has the power to do that. Be quick to listen and humbly accept the Word of God. In other words, there's a time to just listen, to listen to what the Word of God says. If you're going to have a relationship with this Word, there's a time where you just have to stop and listen to what it's saying. What is the Bible saying? What is the Word of God saying? I was so amazed when I was a little kid, and it was 1975, and I got my first Bible ever. It was a Good News Bible. And I remember reading in that little blue denim Good News Bible that the Lutheran Church gave us a little section in Matthew chapter 5 about loving your neighbor. And don't just love those who love you. Anybody can do that. Love those who hate you. Love those who are mean to you. Love those who are bad to you. And as a little kid, 8-year-old kid, I just remember, 9-year-old kid, I always remember just being so impressed. Wow. That, yeah, what good is it? You know, anybody can love those who love you. I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. What makes you special? And it was just a few verses, and the Bibles were kind of broken up in little chunks. And I remember reading that chunk and thought, wow, I just read the Bible. This is what I'm talking about this morning isn't for Bible scholars. It's for everybody. In fact, that's kind of the heart of our treasure seeker program, is at a young age, instill and expose and give children the opportunity to experience a relationship with the Word of God. That Word is for them. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. We can have as intimate relationship with this Word as we want to. Nobody controls that. You can do it. In fact, when you look, and you got to understand, it wasn't always this way. We just got done celebrating the 500-year mark of the Reformation. You know what the really big thing that happened out of the Reformation? It's not just that, oh, we're saved by grace through faith. Yes, that was a pioneering theological work that we got through Luther. But there was another powerful thing Luther did that may have been even more powerful than that, was getting the Bible into the language of the people of the day. And that's really when the Reformation took off, when people could read the Word of God for themselves. I mean, you begin to read the stories of the things that people did. Tyndale's the one who really got us our kind of the Bible we read. He's the guy that got it translated into English so we could read it and know it and understand it. I've seen movies on his life, and it's really just amazing when you see him there looking at the languages, and he says, now, he is the author and the, I don't know, the completer, the finisher. We're just laboring to find that English word that correlates and translates. You know what happened to him? He's burned at the stake. People laid down their lives so we could have the privilege of having a relationship with this Word. They knew for themselves, Luther knew the glory of being able to go into the Word of God and understand it. He wanted that to be in every heart. That's the privilege that we have. It's a privilege. Could you imagine today if the Bibles were just taken away from you and you could no longer go in your Bible? And all you had left was whatever you hid in your heart. Boy, it's a treasure that we have this. People laid down their lives to give us the freedom to open up our Bibles whenever we want to and go into it and to realize that. It's a powerful gift. When we look at the scripture itself, it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow, that's the power of the Word of God. Amplified, the Word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line and breath of soul and the immortal spirit and joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. What does all that mean in real life? Well, just like what we got done saying, what big deal is it if you just love those who love you? Anybody can do that. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That does some sifting and analyzing in me. All my rationale for staying a certain way, the Word of God just interrupts it and goes, oh. Why can the Word do that? The Word has the authority to do it because it is the Word of God. And the Spirit who lives on the inside of you knows it and bears witness. You know, people who don't have the Spirit in them don't understand why we make such a big deal out of an old book. But when you get born again and you get the Spirit of God in you, the same Spirit that inspired this book lives in you and bear witnesses that it's true and it has authority. I mean, it just has that authority. It's alive. It's living. It's powerful. It's not an old dead book. These words are alive and they're powerful as we read them. And the cool thing about the Bible, too, is that I like to say it this way, and I thought of this just the other day as we were driving to Tulsa. It was me and Abby actually drove to Tulsa in February. And as we were driving to Tulsa in February, we're watching The Lion King for the however many time. So it wasn't the first time we saw it. And all of a sudden, I noticed Abby was just starting to like belly laugh at everything Timon said. You know, and you know, she never laughed at his part. I mean, we kind of laughed at his. He kind of has this little kind of snarky thing with Pumbaa where he's kind of the brains and, you know, and kind of, and has this dialogue and, you know, it's kind of, it's in there. But, you know, when she would be watching it before, she was just kind of watching more of the action and really the physical humor and different things like that. You kind of gloss over the dialogue and you kind of go on to the next, you know, humor thing. And the Lord once told me this, and that's going to remind me, is that the Word of God is really, it's a lot like watching a Disney movie, or kind of like that. What they'll do is they put the stuff in there for the 3- and 4-year-olds, and then the 7- and 8- and 9-year-olds. And then there's some stuff in there for us adults that they still haven't laughed at yet. And the Lord told me that once, you know, reminded me of that, because I was actually, I was kind of feeling it stirred up in my heart to read Galatians. I thought, I know Galatians. And the Lord reminded me of that deal, and he said, Ed, you've got to go back and read Galatians because there's parts in there you haven't laughed at yet. What does that mean? You're growing spiritually all the time. Sometimes you got to mark it on the wall to just see it and know it, but you're growing spiritually. And the Lord is saying, you know, Ed, you've grown since the last time you actually sat down and read the book of Galatians. You're going to get more stuff in there this time. When you're a young believer, you rightfully desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so you kind of go through there, and you're looking for a lot of grace and forgiveness. Okay, God loves me. God's for me. And some of that other stuff, raised, you know, far above Christ and the heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities and every name. Okay. Tell me where you love me again. Okay. All right. And His grace is abounded toward me. All right. You're reading, but you're kind of, you're a baby. You only got so much spiritual vocabulary and experience, and so you're kind of reading through there, and you're gleaning what, you know, what you can and what you know and what you get. And some of that other fluffy dialogue stuff that you might have glossed over before, go back and read that book again. Go, oh, okay. Yeah, he's talking about where I'm coming from now. And it's a little bit more meaty and a little more substantive. And puts, you know, okay, wow. So he spoiled all powers and principalities. That includes this thing that I'm dealing with too. And you begin to compare spiritual with spiritual. It's like, okay, yeah, you too. And you continue in that Word, and that Word makes you free. But the Word of God is a lot like that. There's layers. You're going to go back and go, okay, yep, praise God. What are you doing? You're having a relationship with the Word of God. I remember when the Lord first said Galatians, I remember my first thought was, oh, good old Galatians. They're like friends. These epistles, they're almost like your friends. You kind of remember them. You kind of remember at a high level what they're about, but then you go back in there and you begin to read. And you have a relationship with Colossians and 1 Corinthians. And these things are like friends to you. And when you get that new truth, it's like, wow, I'm so glad I went and reread that again. because what I needed was right here. I just had ears to hear. I had the maturity to understand and to go there and for the Holy Spirit to compare spiritual with spiritual, because I've done some things since I last read it and I get stuff now. So that's kind of the way it is with the word. Here's kind of a great, I love this passage because to me it really captures the essence in the heart of listening and having a relationship. This psalm says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. In fact, this whole Psalm 119 is like a dedication, the largest chapter in the whole Bible. It's like a dedication to the value and the importance of the word of God. We get the scripture here in Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's just something about getting into this word and letting this word speak to you. There's a time, what is that? That's listening. You're listening. You're hearing what the word of God has to say. And then listening on the inside to what the Holy Spirit's telling you about what the word has to say. So having a relationship with this word, there is a time to just listen, okay? And that can be listening to the word, reading the word, or it can be listening to messages, sermons, teachings. Those are all different forms of listening and hearing and feeding on the word. And I just want to inject this real quick too, because I feel like sometimes we've lost this a little bit in the culture of the church. When you look at what the scripture says about the word, write it on the tablet of your heart, bind it on your fingers, meditate in it day and night, there, it's okay. It is scripturally okay for repetition over and over and over again. One of the great things I think that came out of the 80s movement and faith and teachings was repetition. It was okay to get a series on something and just listen to it over and over and over and over and over again. Because you don't get it the first time. There's no shame in that. What are you doing? You're meditating it. I remember I got in that series on spirit, soul, and body. Mona was reading what, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body, just getting that revelation. Man, that was 6 months listening to those tapes, and it finally dawned on me, wow, well, I really am a new creation on the inside. There are things you just don't get it because you hear it the first time. It's okay. If there's something that really blessed you, that really seems, keep, pull that back out and listen to it again and again and again and again. That's not cheating any more than it is to listen to the same song over and over and over again. You can listen to the same message over and over and over again. Let it bless you. Let it feed you. Let it stir you up. Praise God. That's having a relationship with the word of God as you're listening. Then there's a time to speak. You know, Paul said, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I've believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. I love that. You believe and therefore speak. It's important to understand, you know, I didn't put the scripture in there, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you try to understand faith, you got to understand the sequence of faith. Faith doesn't start with faith. Faith starts with the word. Once you're listening to the word of God, there's opportunity for faith to come. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so as you're hearing the word, faith is coming. Opportunity is coming, okay? But here he goes on to say then, we've believed and therefore we've spoke. You know, and here's in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 4, 2 through 4, Jesus, when he was in the backside of the desert, when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wow. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus is speaking the written word. But he knew the written word. He knew what was written. When he knew what was written, he declared what is written. He spoke what is written. This is part of having a relationship with the word of God. In other words, if you just stop at listening to the word of God, and you just stop here and you just hide it in your heart and that's it, you can actually get very proud here. You can actually feel pretty self-assured and confident of your knowledge of the Bible. But when you're having a relationship with the Word of God, it's not just about how much you know. If you believe, therefore speak. It's not how much you know, it's what you're speaking, what you're declaring, what you are. You believe, therefore you speak. It's not what you know, it's what you believe about what you know. You can know a bunch of stuff, but do you believe? Do you believe it? Jesus believed that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he had to fight those things, we don't know the manifestation, how Satan manifested himself here, but we know that Jesus had that thought, whether it was spoken or in his mind, whatever. And he declared, no, it is written, it is written. And here we see in the word in Ephesians, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. What is the spoken word of God? There's a time to speak. You could put it this way. There's a time to swing the sword. Because the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that word there is rhema. It's the spoken word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the spoken word. Word of God. What was Jesus really doing here? Jesus was swinging the sword of the Spirit. He was swinging that sword. Now, when we read that other scripture, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's logos. That's talking about the written word. The written word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The rhema, the spoken word, is the sword of the Spirit, which you are allowing that word that you've hidden in your heart to come out your mouth. That's by design. That's by the word of God. And that's an important part of it because, like we said, it's not just a matter of knowing the precious promises of God. You know, I've kind of thought it this way and likened it this way too. If you, we were hoping to be coming out of winter, but... We're still kind of coming through winter, but, you know, in the wintertime, you got the heater going and cranking because it's cold, and here it gets really, really cold. And as you're doing it, I just kind of had this picture in my mind of somebody who bought a brand new heater, like their neighbor. And they were all excited because they were ready for winter this year. And sure enough, you get that first 30 below day, whatever, and you got the heater cranking. So you crank up the heater this year, and as he cranks up the heater, he immediately goes to his bedroom windows and opens up the windows. And sometimes they're a little hard to open, but he manages to get them open. The sliding glass door is a little easier. He looks at the thermostat, but it's strange, it feels cold in the house. So he looks at the thermostat and goes, wow, temperature dropped. He goes, oh, I know. Runs upstairs and opens up some more windows. Comes back down, wow, it's like really freezing cold. Think, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Think, yeah, this heater doesn't work. This heater stuff doesn't work. That's the silly picture of what it's like when we believe and therefore speak the promise of God. We turn on our heater and we say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I know that I'm free. And right after I do that, I go and watch a horror movie. Or I remember that thing. Or, you know, I turn on the news for a little comfort. And get 15 brand new hypotheticals. Remember that old email. Maybe it's forgiveness, bitterness. What that person said. What are you doing? You're opening windows. But you got the promise. You got the promise. Yeah, you got the promise running. You got a lot of cold air blowing in, though, too. What does speaking the word do? You're closing windows. Not only do you have the heater going, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. What am I? I'm closing windows. I'm keeping the atmosphere of my heart. I'm diligently protecting my heart. I'm declaring the word of God. I'll tell you what, you'll begin to heat up. You can invite people over to your house, they'll start to heat up too. You're declaring the word. You're declaring the word. Now, why it works for this person, didn't work for that person. Well, it's not just a matter of slapping a Bible promise on something. There's a relationship with the word of God that goes deeper than that, where you're declaring that word and you're bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of what's running that furnace, that scripture. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm keeping those windows closed. I'm keeping it warm in here. And you'll feel a drafty thought come. Close that window. Praise God. It's not that the heater isn't working. It's putting out heat. You just got to close those windows and let it stay warm in there. Praise God. You can do that. You can do that. You know, I saw something the other day. Wow. All right, Lord, here we go. So, yesterday, Abby is watching a Barbie movie. All right. So, she's about two-thirds into this little Barbie movie, maybe further. And so she's trying to catch me up on it, what's going on here. And apparently Barbie got caught in a video game, okay? She was playing a video game with her friends, and somehow she got zapped into the video game. Now she's one of the characters in the video game. So now to win, she's got to literally beat the video game. So she's explaining to me, you know, that these are the bad guys, and that's Barbie and her friends are the good guys, and they're just running and running and running, and I guess they've been probably running for, you know, the better part of the show. And then all of a sudden, and just probably about 5 minutes after I walked in, I see, you know, Barbie's running away from the big bad guy. And then all of a sudden, she just stops in mid-track, and she says something very profound. Barbie chapter 4, verse 3. That's why I hesitate to even share this. But she turned, and she said, I am sick of running. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to change the way I'm playing this game and start having fun. Now, in the context of this running, I thought there's a spark of faith in that. I thought, wow, that's pretty bold. You know, not only am I going to stop running from this weight in sin or fear or whatever, but I am going to turn and change the way I'm playing this game. I'm going to stop being afraid of it. I am going to overcome it, and I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it. Wow, there's just a spark of faith about that. It's almost like counting it all joy right in the middle of trials and tribulations. Is that scriptural? Yes. Thank you, Barbie. It is. She changed the way she played the game. And yes, I won't spoil it for you if you want to see the movie. I know you're all gripping. But I'll tell you what, it kind of puts things in a different light. And that's the power of the Word of God. When you have a relationship with the Word of God, that sword is the one offensive weapon you got in your hand. Everything else is defensive. But you start swinging that thing. No. And you begin to close windows, and you begin to dictate and control the atmosphere of your own heart as you're diligently protecting it. And you get a relationship with that word. It's not just that scripture, and I'm saying, oh, that's precious. That all things you can desire can't compare when you sense the power of the Word of God pushing back things that have pushed you around for 20 years. Nothing can compare with that. You found wisdom. You found understanding. You got it. Praise God. And the good old Word of God. You fall in love with the Word. Because that Word has protected you. That Word has restored your soul. That Word's a person. It's not a drafty old book. It is alive. It is powerful. It's powerful in my life. Praise God. Finally, there's a time to do. There's a time to listen. There's a time to speak. Time to do. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Jesus put it this way. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's a continuing in the word and a doing of the word. Here's a great little story that we think of when we think of doing the word. This is Jesus walking on the water. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Then Peter had come down. So when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is the story I think of when I think of doing the word. When we talk sometimes just about, you know, getting the word from God, you know, you kind of sense that, okay, I got the word, I got the confirmation, I know what to do, I got the confirmation again, and I got it again, and I got it again. And at some point you begin, okay, when am I going to do this thing, you know? There's what we call the time to get out of the boat and start walking on the water, right? You're never going to run the math to where you can physically, actually, truly walk on water. That's never going to happen. There's going to be an element of faith always as God's calling you and leading you and guiding you to do some stuff. And so there is a point where you're going to be doing the word. Now, doing the word, it can be doing this word, or it can be doing a word that God has spoken to your heart word. But doing the word is something that you are going to do by faith. And you can have all the teachings on forgiveness. You can have the revelation of forgiveness. You can understand the ins and outs. You can understand the benefits. But at some point, you're going to have to say, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so," by faith. Just by faith, not by feeling, just by faith. Same way with anything from God. You're believing. At some point, you're going to stop and believe. Stop and believe you receive it. Stop and forgive. Stop and just doing what the Word of God has said to you. Remember the sequence. You hear the Word. You speak the Word. There's a doing of that word where you're literally exercising your faith. Here's a passage in Galatians that says, "Don't be deceived, God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And a lot of times as you've got that furnace on and things are heating up and you're kind of waiting for things to happen, there is going to be a season where you're going to be just doing what you know to do according to the Word of God. And I love how that scripture says, "Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart." Is it possible to do good and then say, "Oh, I guess this doesn't work," and faint and come to a wrong conclusion about God? Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. And that's where the scripture says, don't get weary while you're doing good. If what you're doing, you can find scripture for it. If what you're doing lines up with the Word of God, don't be weary. Don't be weary. Let that Word encourage you. Let it inspire you. Like we were talking about before, and here's a scripture I did not put up there, but it's a scripture, it's a passage Jesus said. This is Matthew chapter 7:24. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the man who builds his house on the rock. When you're whether you build it on the rock or on the sand, the rains are going to come, the floods are going to come, and the winds are going to blow. As long as you're down here, you're going to experience those storms of life. But the thing that you got to understand and realize is those storms, those trials of your faith, those things that come at you while you're trying to do the word of God, it is a trial of your faith. It's not a trial of your emotions. Satan doesn't care about how you feel. Satan cares about what you believe. How you feel doesn't push into the spirit realm. What you believe penetrates into the spirit realm. A trial of your faith is a trial of your faith, what you believe about God and his word. It's a trial of what you believe about God and his word. He wants to shake you off of that. But when you're steady, you say, nope, in the name of Jesus, it is written. And I'm not going to be weary. I'm going to keep doing. What are you doing? I'm building my house on a rock. Think about building your house on a rock. He uses that analogy because obviously it's easier to dig into sand than it is to dig into rock. Rock takes more effort. But boy, if you do that effort, man, have you got a good foundation. It's kind of the same way too. You say, man, if you begin to do what I've told you to do, there's going to be those choices, those inflection points that you're going to have to make a decision. When we were having our men's retreat, boy, a couple years ago, we did a series on the Twilight Zones, kind of looked at some of those old black and white Twilight Zones. And one of the episodes that I just think of this is, if you want to look it up and watch it sometime, it's entitled A Nervous Man in a $4 Room, okay? And what it is, you got this little small-time crook who just does these little jobs and tries to get by, and nervous little guy just, you know, uptight and just all of a sudden he gets the call for the big job, and he's got to knock a guy off in a bar somewhere, you know, and he's never hurt anybody, he's never killed him, you know, it's just like, that's just not, you know, he could not do that. And he's just all nervous and wondering what he's going to do, but if he doesn't do it, then the people who are hiring him are going to go after him. So he's this little nervous little character. All of a sudden, and this is the Twilight Zone, of course, he's looking into a mirror, and all of a sudden he sees another guy looking back at him. And that guy begins to talk to him. And when we were talking about this in the men's retreat, we were talking about, it's really the difference between the new creation in Christ Jesus, who can do all things through Christ, who strengthens him, and the nervous little flesh that's worried about everything people think and say and do and all that. All of a sudden, he saw the reflection of this inward man who was bold and brave and responsible. He's talking to him through the mirror. And, you know, he's saying, look, you're not going to do this. You know better. This isn't the right thing to do. Oh, but I got to do it. He's, you know, so he has this little discussion. At the end of the episode, the big guy, the boss, was very mad because he just kind of passed out and fell asleep. He didn't do the job. So the big chief guy, you know, kingpin, comes into his little $4 apartment, $4 room that he's renting, and says, you didn't do it. Oh, now you're going to have it. And all of a sudden, that little wormy, squirmy little guy takes on a completely different persona and takes that guy, you know, gives him the business a little bit, runs him out of the apartment, says, don't you ever come back. And the guy on the inside, the strong man, the man who knew the right thing to do, took control. And then as he's strong in control, not doing the wrong thing, he's getting ready to walk out of the room. You walk by that same mirror, and all of a sudden you see the little nervous guy in there. Anybody said, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? He said, you want to know what we're going to do now? We're going to get a job, and we're going to be responsible, and we're going to live life, and we're going to enjoy life. And as he's getting ready to get out, he's on the phone. He says, yeah, this is so-and-so. I'm getting ready to leave. How was your stay? How was the accommodations? Oh, they were fine. He goes, no, they weren't fine. In fact, it's hot in here. It's not good. It's not clean. And I'm better than a joint like this. He hung up and he left. What that little interplay is, it's decision time. I can hear I'm a new creation. I can hear God loves me. I can hear I can do all things through Christ. But there comes a time when you're going to rise up and do and say, I really am the righteousness of God. I really can do all things. Old things really have passed away. All things have become new. Anything that's not new and right and clean, it's coming at me from the outside because I'm a new creation in Christ. But there's decision time when you're going to rise up and say, this is who I am, and begin to do what God has told you to do. There's a frustration that you can stay in the boat. God won't force you to get out of that boat. Ultimately, you got to get out of the boat yourself. He doesn't force us. But boy, he'll confirm things to where it's like, okay, here we go. I'm going to really be satisfied when I get out of the boat and start walking on the water. That's going to be the thrilling, fulfilling thing in my life. What happens, though? It's having a relationship with God's word. There's a time to listen. There's a time where you're just going to open up that word. And like I said, you never graduate from the word of God. There's always parts in there you can still laugh at. There's parts you can go back to, and there's going to be more things that you're going to get this time when you watched, you know, The Lion King however many times, you read Galatians so many times, you're going to get more. God's going to reveal even more to you. There's going to be a time to speak. What are we saying? You're speaking. What you're saying is going to confirm and affirm what you're hearing. I believed, therefore I have spoken. And what I speak lines up with what I believe. I'm not going to allow a bunch of drafty windows to undermine my furnace, undermine what I'm believing. My windows are going to be shut. They're going to be in agreement with this furnace. I'm diligently protecting my heart with my tongue. What I'm saying, what I'm declaring, the sword of the Spirit. Finally, there's a time to do. There's going to be a time where the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to your remembrance, something maybe you've known for years, but there's going to come a time when you got to rise up that guy he was seeing in the mirror and say, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. I am going to do this. I am going to forgive. I am going to stand. I'm going to do what the Word of God has said to do. What is this? It's a relationship with the Word of God. And the Word is a person. The Word is the person of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just your Word and that we can desire her and love her, Lord, in a personal way, that we can trust and treasure your commands within us, Father. That all things that we could desire doesn't even compare with the wisdom that we find in your precious word, answers to our life, Father. Help us, I pray, Lord, for all of us to just have a refreshed, renewed appreciation for the precious word of God, the person of the word, who wants to fellowship with us as we fellowship with the word. We just thank you, Lord, for the precious, holy word of God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. You've given it to me. I treasure those words. When I open my Bible, I'm not reading ink on paper. I'm listening to words of a person. You are that person. These words were written to me. I cherish these words. I let them go in me with a humble heart. Word of God, restore my soul. I want to see things that I've not seen before. And I will speak in agreement with what I hear because it is written. And there is authority in your word. It's a sword in my hand. And I will swing it. Keep the windows down. Let the heater work. And overcome by the blood of the Lamb and that word of my testimony. As I do what you tell me to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, just be encouraged this morning. You know, the Word of God, Word of God can conjure up a lot of different connotations, but just know the Word of God is your friend. He loves you. The Word of God is a person that we communicate through the screens and the ink and the paper, but behind those words beats the very heart and the spirit of our God. So be encouraged. Praise God.